Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Hottest Block Talk Show. This is your boy, Deacon Tasha Odom. I welcome you to the Barbershop. I hope everyone had a best weekend. Everybody's getting ready for this new week, work week, or whatever you got planned. Again, I hope everybody enjoyed themselves today. I know it's the first day of the NFL football season, which I know a lot of people probably listen to that. That's fine, but I thank the ones that's here now, that's listening. Thank you for your love and your support. Again, this is your boy, Deacon Chauncey Odom, from the Hottest Block Talk Show there is. It's the Barbershop. Before we get started, like we always do, we go into prayer, and then we're going to just enjoy ourselves. If you want to make a comment or if you have a statement to what we're about to talk about, feel free to press 1. At least try to keep your comments at least just 3 to 4 minutes, give everyone else a chance to say something or ask questions or comment on what someone else said. That being said, let's go into prayer. And after that, we're going to let our hair down, buckle up, and we're going to enjoy ourselves today as usual. Heavenly Father, we come to you humble as we know how. God, we thank you for waking us up this morning. God, we thank you for keeping us in our right mind. We thank you for the activities of our limb. God, we just give you the honor and the glory for the things that you are doing in our lives, God. We know someone out there right now that lost a loved one. God, we're asking you to send your angels of comfort to that family right now, God. We even asking you to touch the ones that are homeless, God, that's out there with nowhere to turn to. God, we even asking you the ones who have no job, anything they're going through right now, God, we're asking you to just help them right now, God. We're even asking you to touch the ones who are thinking about committing suicide, thinking about doing things that's not of you. God, we know without you, we're nothing. God, we had 10,000 tons. That's not enough to give you the honor and the glory. God, we're just asking you to show yourself today. Let me decrease so you can increase. God, this is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Oh, again, this is your boy, Deacon Chauncey Odom, from the Hottest Block Talk Radio Show. Again, welcome. Hope everyone had a blessed day. I know I did. I got a lot of things accomplished today, and I'm excited about the barbershop again today. You know, we've been doing the barbershop for now going on a month, and this will be our month in the first week. We was doing Sundays and Thursdays, but due to me, the new job that God blessed me with, we no longer can do on Thursday. But guess what? We get to do an hour show on Sundays now to make up for Thursday. So it's going to be real interesting now. People can ask questions, comment. Again, press 1 if you have anything to say. Keep the comments to a limited 3 to 4 minutes to give everybody else opportunity to speak and be heard. Here at the barbershop, we like to have fun. We be, you know, we are transparent. We don't bite our tongue. We don't sugarcoat nothing. And, you know, we just like having fun as well. You know, so I encourage you, if you have anything to say, don't be afraid. You know, we're not here to judge you. We just want everyone to enjoy themselves. Again, like we said, let your hair down. For the ones who are new, just coming for the first time, for the last month or so, we've been dealing with relationships. God had placed this on my heart about 2 months ago about relationships. You know, we're going to be talking about friendship, courtship, marriage, and intimacy. But God has placed for me to stay talking about relationships. You know, but the main relationship we have been talking about is the relationship with God. And we know having a relationship with God is the best relationship you can ever have. You know, because, you know, we're all human, we make mistakes, and being in a relationship with the opposite sex, you know, things tend to get outrageous, get mad, or say things that's unnecessary. But, you know, we turn our backs on each other, we're not there to support. But it's one thing we can all say who have a personal relationship with God that he's been there no matter what, you know. And me personally, my relationship with God is steadily growing day by day by day. And that's helping me have a relationship with the opposite sex, my family, my friends, you know, my brothers in Christ, with co-workers, neighbors. I mean, having a relationship with God can be helpful to other relationships that we tend to get in. And we was also talking about intimacy. We talked about that a lot as well. But, you know, a lot of people think when you mention the word intimacy, it's sex. You know, that's not what we're talking about. Intimate is like being trying to get close to someone. And that's what God wants us to do, be intimate with him. But it's not having sex. It's being close to him, getting to know him. Because he already knows us. But he wants us to get to know him. He wants us to trust him. He wants us to believe in him. He wants us to have faith in him. Because we all know if we do things on our own, we tend to mess up and wonder why we keep getting the same results. It's because we keep doing the same thing, not putting God in the mix of things. You know, we already know that you can't be emotional in trying to make major decisions. You know, if you're going to make major decisions dealing with business, friendship, marriage, courtship, or your neighbors, or on your job, we need to understand that we have to have God in everything that we do. And I encourage everyone to build your relationship with God. You know, that's the best relationship you can have. I mean, because, like I said, speaking for me personally, I thank God for everything that he's took me through, the storms, the trials, the tribulations to have me right now. But I'm not where I want to be. I still want more of him. You know, I'm learning, like I said, day by day to really spend intimate time with him, to listen to his voice. Because, you know, sometimes when our minds get to running 100 miles an hour, we can't hear God speak. Sometimes we have to take time to step back from our busy schedule and just spend a little time with him. You know, people don't understand. You can't hear nothing when your mind is nothing and no one. You can't hear anything when your mind is running 100 miles an hour. You can't. I've done that before, and we can't hear God speak. Now, if you don't take heed to what God is saying to you, now he will shut you down to get your attention. So I advise people that, you know, who's running from God, knowing that God is at want them, you know, don't run from him. The best thing you can do is just give God your total yes, your full yes, your entire heart. Don't just give him a piece of it. Don't give him a piece. You have to give him your whole heart. Believe me, I've been there, I have that experience, and it's not cool at all. You know, I decided to give God my full yes this past January. And I'm telling you now, giving your life to Christ or giving God your full yes, it's going to be some days. You're going to have your good days and you're going to have your bad days. But you're going to still, at the end of the day, you're still in a relationship with God. I encourage you to build your relationship with God. Know him for yourself. Read the word for yourself. Experience that intimacy that you can have with him. but that will prepare you for other relationships, even with your parents or kids, you know, people that you're close to, you know, because there's things that, you know, we do to God, but he still loves us unconditionally. So we have to learn how to love unconditionally. We have to forgive. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. People, it's hard for people to forgive. Not everybody. Some people are out even spoken to say it's hard to forgive. But if you really look at it, look at the things that we've done to God when we was out there in the world or where we at now, and he forgave us. You know, if he can forgive us, why we can't forgive the person that hurt us? Why we can't forgive the way they slander our name or tell lies on us? We have to learn to forgive, but when you forgive, you're forgiven so you can heal. And just like I was saying before, one time before, fasting is an intimacy with God. You don't have to turn down your plate at this stage. If you like coffee all the time, take a couple hours out your day. Don't drink no coffee. That time that you drinking all that coffee, take your time to have a relationship with God and ask God questions. We can ask God questions. He will reveal them to us. You know, they said we don't supposed to ask God questions. Why not? He going to reveal stuff to you. He will show you what you ask for. And sometimes you have to be careful what you ask God for, because he will give it to you just to see what your response is going to be. You know, he loves us no matter what. And we should love each other the same way no matter what. You might slap me, I get mad, but at the end of that, I'm going to forgive you. I learned to forgive. As soon as someone says something out of the way or does something to you, I learned to forgive and let them at death. That way, later on, you won't be sitting here stressing yourself out by why they did this, you know, because they're going to go on and do what they're going to do. While we sitting here mad and frustrated because they hurt us or said some harsh things to us, they're going on about their business. But we still sitting here. Now, I ain't saying nothing. Damn, I ain't gonna apologize. You know, I don't feel like forgiving. I ain't gonna forget. But you're doing more harm to yourself than anything. Like I said, you know, I encourage everyone to build a relationship with God because it's necessary. It's really necessary. He will do things that no man can do. And he already told us, trust no man. Man will stab you in your back as soon as you turn your back. Or do it right there in your face. But God will be right there no matter what. Now, he's a just God now. If you put everything else before him, please don't do that. Please, because that's the same one that created us, gave us the gift, the skills to do the things that we do. And we have to acknowledge when we do things, we have to acknowledge to God that thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Even during the bad times, still praise and worship God, you know, because that's a good feeling. You know, me personally, I love him. I wouldn't change nothing that I've done to where I'm at now, you know, because that's a test. You know, the stuff that I went through is not just for me. It's for someone else that's going through it. It might be a brother out there today that's going through a bad relationship. Or having a hard time on the job. You know, we never know. So I encourage everyone to tell your testimony. Don't be afraid to tell your testimony, because your testimony might end up saving someone from committing suicide or going to do something they have no business doing. Because believe me, as children of God, someone is always looking at us. So we have to be careful how we carry ourselves, how we talk. You know, I know sometimes we get mad, we human. I've done it before. But once I done did, I was like, you know what, that wasn't right. And there's been plenty of times I went back and apologized. Not for me, not for them, it was for me. You know, I've done it several times on my job. And I let my co-workers know, look, I'm sorry, I stepped out of order. That's not my character, that's not me. And I, you know, I'm asking for forgiveness. If they don't forgive you, so be it. But also go to God and ask God for forgiveness. But don't let no one push you to your point that you're going to do something that you're going to have no business, which we know people are going to do. But we have to remember that someone is watching us, and they already waiting for us to do something that we don't have no business for. First thing they say, I told you they won't say. They just like the rest of them. They ain't no good. But that's, I mean, we human. But we have to be careful of what we say, how we treat people. Today, we're talking about building your relationship with God. And there's things that we can do. We can, you know, just take time out of your day. You know, when you get home from work or before you go to work, just spend some time with them and let them know how you feel. Because God is waiting on us with his arms open when we're going through, or even when we have to just acknowledge him. You know, he's going to honor that. You know, don't be afraid to speak to him. Listen to gospel music. Read your word. All of these things right here will help you build your relationship with God. And as I was doing some research today, I looked at 5 ways to improve your relationship with God. One of them is abide and meditate. Take time out to meditate. Get to know God. Clear your mind, and he will speak to you. He will. But you have to make time for him. He's not going to beg you to make time for him. He's not. But he wants to spend time with each and every one of us. If we can go spend time and watch sports, football, movies, go out to eat and do all this, why we can't take a little bit of time to spend with him? Really? We can do everything that we want to do, but we don't want to spend no time with him. But we always want God to bless us. Then when we're going through a storm, we always want him to fix it right then and there. But you don't want to spend no time. It's the same way we be in a relationship with friends, family, you know, woman or man. We get mad when you don't get no attention. You know, it's the same way if you're in a relationship and you suspect that man or that woman for the fellas, if you suspect that woman to give you you want some attention, but you're not giving God no attention. It's just like being submissive. If you're not being submissive to God, how do you feel like yourself or people who are in a relationship? Why do you expect that woman to be submissive to you, to the God that's in you? Because if you're not listening and paying attention to what God has to say, what makes you think people that you're the head of the house, say you're the man of the house, you're married, and you got kids, why would you think your wife would listen to you if you don't pay attention to God or you be obedient to him? But you want everybody else to jump when you say jump, but you don't want to move when God said move. The same way for the ladies. How you suspect your man to be submissive to the goddess in you if you're not being obedient to God yourself? You know, how we expect our kids to do right if we're not doing right. Because our kids are watching us just like everybody else. And being in a relationship is the same thing. How you suspect that your spouse, your girlfriend or boyfriend to, you know, do something that you're not doing for God? Why do we think that? Why we get all upset about it? You know, because in order for someone else to pay attention to us or respect us, we have to respect God. We have to be obedient. We have to do things in order. You know, that's why I said you have to build that relationship with God. And he would make things better. But we have to do our part. He's waiting on us. He's not going to chase us down. He's not going to make us do it. But why not join his team? It's going to be rough. You're going to have some good days and bad days. But he's still there. Our friends, our family, they just might walk away from us. Then we there by ourselves wondering what's going on. But we always tend to go to everybody else first and save God for last when we're going through or when we need something. When I said earlier, we have to trust, believe, and have faith in him. He provides things for us. He gave us the resource. He gave us the skills and the ability to do the things we need to do. But why not use all of those things so he can get glorified? But when you do things the wrong way or sneaky. Eventually, like the old folks say, what you done in the dark is going to come to the light. It will. So why not just go ahead and do it the right way? Stop taking the shortcuts, trying to, you know, bamboozle people, beat somebody. You know, but like I said, I just encourage everyone to really have a relationship with God. Listen, he does speak to you. He can minister to you through the word, through music. He can send someone to you to give you the word that you've been looking for. But we have to have that relationship with God. It's very important to have that relationship with God if you want to make it in heaven. If you want to live right. Like I said, we human, we make mistakes. But we don't have to keep making the same mistakes over and over and over and over and over again. Like putting the cement. Really? So, you know, again, build your relationship with God if you want to have a relationship with everyone else. That's the main thing. So build your relationship with God. And it's, I also found 6 simple steps to building a relationship with God is invite him to come close. You know, I read somewhere that said you don't always have to be praying in order to speak to God or meditate. You can be driving down the road and talk to him. You don't always have to be in your closet or your prayer room. You can talk to God when you're on your way to work, when you grocery shop. You can talk to God anytime you want to. He's always there. He's always there. You know, we ask for things, but we get mad when he don't give them to us right there. Because it's not that our time is not like his time. You know, it's just like one of the other things they were talking about, we have to talk to God. You know, someday you just have to pour out your heart to him. You know, let him know how you really feel. I've done that several times. Talk to them like you talk to your friend or your husband, your mom or your dad. That's the same way God wants to have a conversation with us. He already knows what's going on, but he'd like to hear it come out of our mouth when we're going to. He wants us to call on him. He's always there for us. He's been there for me. And then I know sometimes he was like, oh, can't get to him right now. Because we always want that microwave blessing, that then and there. But sometimes we got to go, not sometimes, we have to go to the storm, people. We have to. It's a test. Like I said, the things that we go through is not just for ourselves, it's for other people. And another, number 4 is listen. It says, remember to make it a two-way conversation and expect to hear from God just as you would from a trusted friend. It didn't say a friend, it said a trusted friend. Because we already know if they're your real friends, they're going to tell you the truth. They're not going to sugarcoat nothing. They're not going to bite their tongue. And just like I said last week about Pastor Jerome, he never bit his tongue when he told me something. It hurt. It could. But I know he told me these things out of love. And that's why I respect him. That's why he's one of my true friends, because it was out of love. If you have a friend, tell them things out of love. We just can't tell them what their ear, you know, tip of their ear. Tell them the truth. Sometimes the truth hurts. I read from one of my boys that I know we've been friends for 30 years for them to tell me the truth, and they had always told me the truth. Sometimes it might hurt. Sometimes it hurt. Sometimes I felt like crying. I got mad. But it was still the truth. It was still the truth. The truth won't hurt. Then number 5 was like make contact throughout your day. That's why I was telling you, no matter what you're doing, you can speak to God and talk to God whenever you feel like. When you're sitting at your desk, on that computer, talking to a customer, you know they sitting there cussing you out. You can call on Chief. Because I know a lot of people that work in customer service, and I done heard some of the things they say how people talk to them. And please, that's not my job, right? I couldn't do it, to be honest. But I knew I had to call. It'll take Jesus and his 12 disciples to help me. We all know, like I said, we all been there before. So don't act like you haven't been there before. But we've been on the other end when the folks call us and we get mad and flush them out when they talking about a pay. We all done. We've been there. No one's perfect. But once you give your life to Christ and you have that personal relationship with God, he will teach you how to do things the right way, how to love unconditionally. Somebody might say something bad about somebody might do this, but we still have to love them. We still have to love them. That's what Jesus did. He loved everybody, even the ones who beat him. He still loved them. So what he went through, and he still loved the ones who hurt him and done him wrong, why we can't do it? Why? Yes, it's going to be hard. It's going to take God and a lot of praying and a lot of fasting, but you can do it. You can do it. You can do it. Don't let nobody tell you, yeah, it's hard. I know. I've been there. It's hard, but we can do it. If we just build our relationship with God. It says about make contact throughout your day. It says being in touch with God doesn't have to be only doing times of meditation or prayer, like I said earlier. It could be while you're on the run, while you're in your busy schedule, mixed of activities. Even, you know, a lot of us, some parents, that kid that's in sports all day, taking them to practice, doing this, doing that. You can still, while your kid is doing their sports or their activity, you can still have that time to speak to God. Like I said, you can be going to the grocery store, get some gas. You can still have a conversation with God. We can. And it's number six, it said, take action when you hear God's voice. Take action. That's being obedient and doing things in order. God is not going to tell us nothing wrong. He's not going to tell us to go this way knowing there's trouble over there. This is what happens when you have a relationship with God and you understand. But if you don't have a relationship with God or you want to do things your way, and every time we do things our way, like I said, we get the same result, but then we want to call on him and ask him for help. Well, if you would have went to him first, you wouldn't be in this situation. And sometimes we do things, God, okay, that's what you want to do. You want to do it your way. I'm going to let you go on through it. Everybody done been there before. When we did something that God said not to do, and we did it anyway, or we made the decision, well, I'm going to do it this way, my way. Then when you run into a snag, here we go. Going crying to him. You know, it's just like when your child, you tell your kid not to do something and they do it. Sometimes you just step back and say, okay, I'm going to let them find out for themselves. Same way God do us. The same way. He punishes us as well. Just like we punish our child for not doing what they're supposed to. He does it to us. So we can't get mad because we don't get it right then and there. At that time, it's not meant for you to have because you were being disobedient. You wasn't listening. You know, I love God. I really do. You know I've made him mad plenty of times. I'm not perfect. None of us are perfect. But he gives us the opportunity to build our relationship with him. You know, and that's what we should take the opportunity to do. You know, I thank him. You know, I thank him every day I get up, even on my bad. I learn even on my bad day, still give him praise. But you just don't know when you're going through a storm and you praise God and you acknowledge him. It feels better. You know, just like today, I went out riding. But every time I went somewhere, I went walk close. When I got to the line, I said, thank you, Jesus. I made it safe and sound. Because we never know what's going on in somebody's mind when they drive or they walk. They can be to a point where they're ready to commit suicide or they just feel like they want to hurt somebody. And it's sad. And I was looking at the news today. This young girl from my hometown, Rocket Mount, killed the mayor and his wife in Leggett and had two other people with him, a 25-year-old and an 18-year-old. We never know what people are going through. I'm not saying what they've done was cool, but it's sad that we got our young people out here, older people as well. As Christians, we say we love God. Why not help? Because when we was out there in the world, we all know we had people praying for us and helping us. So why we can't do it in return? That's the part of having a relationship with God. That's why I said, when God speaks, listen, take action. If he tell you don't do it, don't do it. If your spirit is telling you something ain't right, it's something ain't right. When it comes down to making big decisions, don't get so emotional about it. You will make the wrong decision. Always go to God first and ask, how do you want me to handle this? What should I do? God is awesome. Like I said, I love and I hope everybody else love. I hope everyone that's listening, that's called in or listening on Facebook, I hope you have a relationship with him. A strong personal relationship. Get to know him. It's totally different knowing him and know of him. You know of him because somebody else done went through and they done gave you their praise report and done told their testimony. Now, if he did it for them, he can do it for you. But we know some of us just hard-headed and stubborn. We don't want to do it. We want to do things our way, either our way or no way or the highway. But if you got any comments, y'all just going to let me keep on talking, which I don't mind. But if you have a comment, you want to say anything, you know, if you have a personal relationship with God, press one. Let everybody know what God has done for you and let us know what your relationship is with God. Because we learn from each other. And that's why I encourage everyone, if you have a comment or you want to say something or you have a question, just press one. Because we're here to help each other. And that's one thing I like about the barbershop, because we're here to support each other. We're here to love each other. That's why I encourage my brothers down to call in or listen to it on Facebook. Because we need each other, regardless of whether y'all want to believe it or not, we need each other. And these times and days where it's hard being in a relationship, folks are killing each other as soon as you say, I'm done. I don't want no more parts of this. You know, just a couple of weeks ago when that man killed his wife and his daughter. We never know what someone's going through. That's why we have to learn how to build a relationship with God. And we have to love everybody. We have to encourage each other. We have to encourage people to have a relationship with God. And at the end of the day, it's still their choice whether they want to do it or not. But if God asks you to go speak with someone and give them the word or encourage them, and you do that and they don't take heed to it, the blood is not on your hand. But I encourage everyone to encourage someone this week. Even somebody you don't know, a co-worker or somebody, encourage them. We never know what somebody's going through. There's a lot of people going through some relationships right now that's hurt. Don't know where to turn to. Even with my brothers out there. I know there's a lot of men out there that's going through something. But society has got it to the point now, we can't cry. We supposed to be strong, I'm trying to tell you. Samson was strong until he started filling his guts to the old girl when she started speaking that stuff in his ears, whispering to him that thing. You know, he lost all his power, cutting dreads off. He knew that's what his strength was. Can't let nobody take us away from having a relationship with God. I told you God gets jealous. I told someone the other day I would not put my kids. I love my kids. I love my babies. God's kids, my grandson. I love my sisters, my brothers. I love my family. But I also love God. He's going to be number one in my life. So I encourage everyone, make sure you got God first in your life. You know, we talk about building a relationship, not just with God, but building a relationship with neighbors, coworkers, your girlfriend, your friend, your wife, your fiance, whatever. We all got to have a relationship with God first. We have to. Because that's going to help us with the relationship. But like I said, if you have a comment, press one. Let's talk about this relationship. I want to know what somebody thinks about. I want to know what somebody's relationship is with God. Let me know how you feel about God. You can press one. Keep your comments to 3 to 4 minutes. We got a full house. No one wants to talk, but I'm getting it. I'm tired of talking. I'm just messing y'all. Like I said, we like to have fun here. You know, I just, you know, just have a relationship. I mean, I can't stress it enough. You know, I keep repeating myself. I just want you guys to have a relationship. Get to know him if you don't. Please have a relationship with him. But, you know, like I said, we're going to be talking about friendship, courtship, marriage. And, you know, like I said, to the ones who are new, just came in, we're talking about building our relationship with God. And I was doing some research the other day, and I'm trying to tell you, you go on the internet, you can find anything you want to. And there's some good stuff out there, and there's a lot of bad stuff. You know, we're going to really dig into friendship. We're going to really dig into courtship. We're going to really dig into marriage. You know, we've been talking a lot about intimacy as well. You know, I asked a couple of people, if I say intimacy, what's the first thing, the first word comes to your mind? And a lot of people said sex. And we all know social media, everything, like they said, sex sells. We're not having sex with God, but he wants us to be intimate with him. You know, that's, he wants to get close to him. You know, you can, you know, you can be intimate without having sex. There's a lot of things that you can do to be intimate with someone without having sex. If we don't believe it, Google it. You know, I thank all of you today for coming out and supporting the Barbershop. It's the hottest block talk radio show platform for my brother. And I encourage my brothers, you know, to chime in so we can help each other, so we can become better fathers, so we can become better husbands, so we can become better men of God, you know, so we can take our rightful place back, you know, because our family and our churches are missing the strong men. There's strong men in church now, but we don't bring arms together like we're supposed to. You know, because, you know, you got some churches got cliques. And they got their favorites. But when it comes to doing God kingdom business, we're supposed to put our personal stuff to the side and encourage each other and help build the kingdom. You know, like I said, I love my brothers. I really do. And I don't want to see nobody fall to the wayside or go to hell. It's simple. It's a process, you know. Build your relationship with God. It's not going to be easy. It's not. But it's worth it. You know, I encourage you again. I know I'm just so adamant when it comes to us building a relationship with God. It's just like my passion for my brothers. I get real passionate for my brothers. Because I don't want to see no one that. I know we're going to, our day number going to be called, but I want to see everybody in heaven. I really do. I want everybody to live happy. You know, we're going to have, like I said, we're going to have our good days and bad days. But I want to see everybody happy, which I know everybody's not going to be happy. But you got some that's all they want is be mean and hate. Just keep it ruthless. Like it said, if there's such thing as angels and there's such thing as demonic spirits. But if you have that personal relationship with God and you have the gift of discernment, you'll know. Demons are real. Demonic spirits are real. I just encourage everyone to have a relationship with God. You know, I thank God for everything he has done in my life. I'm not perfect. I've done a lot of things to hurt people, family, friends, women, my kids. I've done a lot of things to hurt people. And I'm not just the only one, you know, but when I decided to give my life back to Christ, it was a blessing. So I used to tell folks, if I couldn't stand myself, ain't no way in the world you could stand me. All because of hurt. Not having a relationship with my mom. Causing me to have bad relationship with other people. So we know our moms have that unconditional love. No matter what we do, what we say, mom always had that unconditional love. Dad was strong. He gave that tough love. We need tough love as well. But we also need that unconditional love. It's going to be, it's rough. It's hard. And I'm just speaking from experience, what I've learned by having a relationship with God. It's the best thing you could ever have. Oh, we got a caller, 3576-3576. Again, we want to keep the comments for 3 to 4 minutes.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Hey, Brother Chauncey, I wanted to chime in real quick. I hear you saying have a relationship with God, and that is very true, very important. But one thing I found, especially dealing with the youth and people who are really out there in the world, is for someone who does not know God and who has never really known God, and maybe even the people that they have known to profess that they have known God in their life has hurt them, how is it that they would, you know, be able to have a relationship with God? How would they find God in such a wicked world? And that's some questions that have been raised in conversations that I have had with various people who are actually, you know, out there in the world. And one of the things that they really do not know is how to find God. How do you have a relationship with God? And so that is a question that I am posing to you is, you know, how would someone who has never even had a relationship with God, someone who doesn't even realize that the very breath that they breathe into their lungs, God is responsible for, how would you direct someone who does not have that type of guidance or foundation in them to find God or to even begin to build a relationship with God, especially when there is so much church hurt that is going on out here in the world today? How would you go about that?
Well, with me, for sometimes we already know people, when we come at them, the ones who are lost, they know that we're coming at them to beat them across the head with scriptures. And I think when it's time for us to go to them, sometimes we have to come to where they're at and let them see the realness in us. And that's where it comes with the testimony. You know, encourage, you know, even ask them to go to church with or pray with them. Or, you know, just be there for them. Because majority of the people I've seen, they just want someone to listen to. And if we encourage them and show them and be there and with that love and support, you know, it can happen. We can draw them to Christ. But like you said, you got folks that's fed it in their ear and they don't have nowhere to turn to because some of them are afraid. They're afraid to leave the the lifestyle that they're living because they're afraid what somebody else gonna say. You know, like you said, like they tell us, why go to church if they doing the same thing in the church? Why should I go? But you're not going to church for them. You're going for yourself to get the word from God. And like I said, I would just encourage them and really be there and show that love and support. Because, you know, some church folks will tell you, yeah, this, and then when that person really needs them, they're not there. But I think about us as Christians, if we be there and show them that love and support and not try to beat them across the head and find out why they don't know or what they're afraid of. And just that love, I think unconditional love and support is the best thing that we can do to the ones who are hurt, that don't know God. You know, take them to church, you know, spend some time, quality time with them, because, you know, they're looking at us. They are actually looking at us. People are looking at us trying to see what we're doing. Then you got some that will catch on quick and see and be wanting it. But then you got the ones who are afraid. I think a lot of people are afraid because the people they hang around with, they don't want to leave that lifestyle. Live, you know, they want to stay in that lifestyle. But I, just me personally, I think love and support will really help people come to Christ. But we can't go and beat them across the head, you know, telling them they're wrong. Majority of them know they are wrong. They just want us to listen to them, you know. And that's why I say that's when it comes to telling your testimony and showing that love and support. You know, that's just me. You know, that's what I would do. The last four numbers, 1727, 1727, you're on the air.
Hello, bro.
Hello.
This is Melissa. How are you? Hello.
Hello.
How are you doing today?
I'm fine. Yourself?
Good. Getting to the question the sister had before, my experience is when you're transparent and you're keeping it real with people that are in the world and they know you're not in the world and you got a relationship with God, they see how you are living your life. A lot of times they see what they're doing ain't working, they're going to ask you questions. They're going to ask you your opinions. And you, like you said, you can't give people scripture. It's their way of your walk of your life a lot of times. That is what helps you get people that's in the world to get in the church. That's what I feel.
I completely agree with you on that. A lot of times it's not even because when people see you pull out a Bible and things like that, they automatically go on the defense because they've seen that. They've heard
mm-hmm.
that, whether it be from the elders in the church, from their grandparents, from their parents, they've seen that already. And because
mm-hmm.
for a lot of them who are already experienced church hurt or have seen people with the title of Christians and who have hurt them or done things that regular sinners who are actually living the life of a sinner have done, they automatically shut down. So I definitely agree with you.
Exactly.
It's our light. It's the light
mm-hmm.
that is on us, and it should
yeah.
reflect the
mm-hmm.
life of a Christian. And I believe by us walking Christ through our walk and the things that we do, even when troubles come up on us, because we
exactly.
as Christians know that, exactly, we know as Christians that a problem with Jesus, it's not the kind of problem that it appears to be versus a problem, the same kind of problem out there in the world. Because there's some
mm-hmm.
things that I know I've gone through with Jesus, and I've also gone through them same exact problems without him. And when I do
That's
a comparison, fine. I'm like, oh,
Amen.
God, what was wrong with me?
Exactly.
So I think we have to really understand, too, you know, is that when we walk, we never, ever know who's watching. It could
Amen.
Be our neighbor.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It could be
That's
someone
true.
Up the street. It could be our children's bus driver.
Yes.
When they notice that we are not on schedule. Matter of fact, I'll give you a perfect example. I had someone come to me and say, this is what I was kind of in the back foot to say. It was a while ago. Neighbor lived up the street. Didn't even know this person. Said to me, you still go to church? I noticed your car's been in the driveway every Sunday for the last few. What?
Wow.
You see what I'm saying? You never know who's watching. But it could have been that one Sunday that person could have came and knocked on the door and said, hey, sister, are you going to church this Sunday? Can I go with you? But because
wow.
they didn't see my vehicle move, you see what I'm saying? That's how we don't even know who's watching us. We could hurt somebody or block somebody from a blessing just because we are being disobedient to what God has us to do. So that's something that we have to consider.
But like I said, I can give you a perfect example. I had a friend, and we were Facebook friends, and I was just typing something on my testimony a couple days ago, and she called me up, and it was something that, you know, she don't go to church. She knew I went to church. She didn't know all the stuff I was going through, and she's asked me all these questions. And like I said, you don't have to give people scripture. You just have to be transparent to people so they'll know, okay, she's still making it. She's been through a divorce. She's been through this with her kids. She's been through that. And you know what? She's still seeking God. What she got that I want? She got something I want. I want to know more about what she's, I want to know about this God. So it don't have to, like you said, it don't have to be a scripture. It just can be your walk with the Lord. You get the closer the relationship you get with God, the more, you know, it feels like, okay, God's drawing me closer so I can help somebody and witness to somebody else. So now I know I'm getting that relationship, that closeness with God and seeking Him more, getting that daily devotion in the morning. Like you said, praying and talking to Him all day long. When people want to cuss you or act like a fool, you're still seeking God. Speak to Him all day long. You ain't got to be on your knees. Speak to Him, and He always there, and He's going to give you that discernment, that the voice of what you need to do. So that's all I have to say today.
That's true. That is very, very true, sister. That is so true. You know what? I found, too, a lot of times is that, you know, the old saying, I know we've all heard it, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink.
Amen.
And I want to say it's Les Brown, correct me if I'm wrong, but he said, yeah, you can lead a horse to water, can't make them drink, but you can create a thirst. And I believe that is what our job is to do, is to create a thirst. Because a lot of times they might know because they've seen it, they've heard it, you know, it's been preached to them over and over again. But where's the thirst at? And so I think the thirst is from us actually walking the walk. And doing the things that we say we're going to do and actually doing it, actually following through, actually being consistent, that creates the thirst. So it's like you were saying, sister, when people see you, well, dang, what has she got that I – that's the thirst that you're creating because she's trying to figure out how in the world have you endured that, how have you withstood that, and you are still standing. You don't look nothing like what you've been through. That is the thirst that we are creating to bring people to Christ. And that's all I have to say. Thank you very much.
And we got a caller with the last four numbers, 8894, 8894. You on the air.
Brother Chauncey, this is Brother Thorpe again. How you doing today?
So what's up, Brother Thorpe? What's good with you?
Man, the sisters are right on point with that. You know, I was thinking about that question she asked, and it's a lifestyle that people that will attract people. You know, we can't beat them up with the word. We can't tell them they're wrong because that's going to piss people away. It's our lifestyle. Because like you say, they are watching. When you speak the word, they want to see if you walk the walk, talk the talk. They want to see somebody that's real. They tired of seeing fake, puffed up stuff. And you got a lot of fakeness out here just like you got a lot of realness out here. And the first thing you do when they see you out of line, oh, you aren't real anyway. But when it's a test, And they see that you're there for them when you give them a God touch your heart to bless them, bless them with the $20. And they say, well, you know what? That's real. And they see that. And when they realize you is real, that's when we want to be a part of that realness. They want to be a part of that realness. And that's when they start, you know, the Bible says, seek me first the kingdom of God. Then they want to start seeking. And that's when it's time for us to start preaching and teaching. Because if you come out with the Bible and start bringing the Bible out and they don't have an understanding yet, that's gonna push them away too. So you got to see it's a lifestyle.
Excuse me. Like I said, it's that showing them that unconditional love and support.
Look, that's right. That is so right.
You know, like for me, for instance, you know, like I say all the time, this past year. February made 14 years that I've been drug free. And I'll always, you know, like we have to go to where they're at. And if someone has never been on drugs, never experienced it, how can they encourage somebody to get off the drugs or know what the signs and symptoms are like? But with me, I can go in there because, like I told God, when I go out there, I'm going with my Tim's on, my sweatsuit. I'm not going with my bow. I might have it in my backpack, but I'm not going to let them see it. Because what they see, oh, Lord, here they come again. You know, just like what y'all said before, when a G-Homeless comes through the house, oh, Lord, here they come. And we peeking out the window. They come and they knock on the door. It's the same way with us as Christians. When the ones that's out there lost, they see us coming. And they see that Bible in their hand. They already know what you're going to do, because they done seen you around the corner doing the same thing as Billy did around the corner. But if you keep it real, like I do on a bottle shop, keep it real. Don't bite my tongue. Keep it transparent. You know, I don't have no problem saying I was wrong. I did a lot of dirt in my life, and I'm not proud of it, and I have. But I don't mind going back out here in the street where I know the people are on them drugs. I did this and done that because I've done it before. They will be receptive to me to someone that's never done it. But just like you remember when we went to that church where Pastor Jerome preached. This pastor never been on drugs. Never. Don't know nothing about the street slangs or nothing like that. But then you got young men coming in here, me, Thor, and Pastor Jerome. These young boys like, wait a minute. Pastor ain't never done this, so they cling to us first because we put it out there. And it's the same way. I'm not gonna hold my tongue. I'm not gonna bite. I tell folks, I've been 14 years clean. I've done the drugs. I know when somebody is high. I know when somebody is scared. I know how to be a drug addict.
That's just like Bro Chauncey.
Go ahead, bro.
I heard people say. You know, they was in the store. They saw a pastor. You know, he didn't even speak to me. He on his high horse. He can't even speak. And that's the first thing they say. So when you see people, you got to be approachable. You got to speak to them. You got to reach out to them. It's that love, that godly love that's going to reach you. It's going to reach you.
Yeah, that's true.
And when you get the experience, no, I can't. I don't have that experience. But there's other experiences I do get. You can reach somebody better because you got an understanding about it.
Mm-hmm. And I think when when we do that, we can always go get somebody who has, like you said, has more experience in this area. Okay, I don't have the experience, but I know somebody else that has this experience that can help me. You know,
that's right.
It's just like when we plant seeds, you fertilize, you sow, you do what you got to do. You plant the seed, somebody's gonna come behind. What we don't do, somebody else can come behind.
That's right.
To meet that person. And the other person can help them.
And can I say, I want to add to that,
go
real
ahead.
Quick. A lot of times, too, I think that also comes with God. Because being through, whatever experience, sometimes we have to learn not everybody's feelings are supposed to come to us. Sometimes it's meant for us to reach out to that brother and they say, hey, I have someone who's hurt, someone who needs to talk to someone else. I know that will be able to.
You got a lot of static and a lot of feedback in your background.
That's not me.
I don't know who
I don't know who that was. I hope you guys heard what I was saying. But
no, we did. You don't have to repeat yourself.
You have to know that too, because this is what you were saying. So you're 14 years old.
You breaking up. It's hard for to hear what you're saying. You'll keep going in and out.
Well, I think that ain't nothing but the enemy because he knows what I'm saying right now.
Of course.
It's true. Can you hear me? And so what
I can hear you now
is we have to know when it is time for us to speak to someone and when it's time for us to pick up the phone and say, hey, brother, hey, sister, I got someone who's hurting, someone who can really use your voice. someone who could really use your prayer. And we just have to know when to reach out to people. And in order to do that, we have to have a community. We have to have a relationship. And we cannot be isolating ourselves from people who are out in the community, because that's what it's about. The Bible says when two or more. And so we have to learn when to be in alignment with him. And a lot of times we get out of alignment and we can actually mess up someone else's healing.
Yeah, that's so true. Caller with the last four numbers, 6317, 6317, 6317. Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, Deacon, how you doing?
What's going on, Pastor Ryan?
All right. Just sitting back and listening, and just want to chime in on the young lady's question on how do we win souls into the kingdom. How do we approach these the sinners out here and to get them to understand the error of their ways, to get them to understand that the wages of sin is death without coming across as being preacher man. See, first and foremost, we got to do like Christ did. Christ walked the land and he ministered to the people. He not once told the people who he was. He walked and he befriended the people, and he listened to the people, and he offered up a better way. See, that's what we got to do as Christians. We can't walk with our collars and our Bibles in our hands and going to the gangbanger or to the prostitute and try to put Jesus on them, because in this day and time they're not going to want to hear it. But what we got to do, we got to, first and foremost, we got to have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. We got to trust in the Lord with all our heart, lean not to our own understanding, and all our ways acknowledge him so that he can direct our path. And when he direct our path, he'll direct our path on how to have an ear to hear through the Spirit on how to deal with that individual. Because people are hurting nowadays. People are going through things, and people want to find a better way and find a way out, but they don't know how. But because the perception of what the church is nowadays is so misconstrued to the point where you don't know what's of God and what ain't, because the church is not living nothing. The church is not upholding nothing.
That's true.
You got from the pulpit to the back door, where you got people calling themselves living holy on Sunday, but on Monday through Monday and Saturday they're not living like nothing. They live in any way they want to live. They're doing what they want to do when they want to do it. See, that's why Christ says, any man come out to me, let him deny himself and pick up his cross and follow me. See, we got to have the understanding of what Christ's word is saying, and we got to use the wisdom and knowledge and understanding on how to approach these people. And when we approach these people and we listen to them and we tell them our testimony of what the Lord has done for us, like they said earlier, you got to plant a seed. You got to plant a seed for your testimony, what God done for me. Because the same thing he done for me, he can do for you. Because he has no respect to person. So when you witness to these people, and the failure part is, as being a Christian, pastor, whatever it is, when you offer Christ to people, you got to understand the process. You can't just say, look, come to Christ, accept the Lord, and you're not helping them with the process. See, everything is a problem. See, the Lord dealt with me in my spirit. He told me when people want to come to Christ, you got to counsel them. I said, Lord, why counsel them? He said, well, first and foremost, when a man and a woman come together in holy matrimony, that's a marriage between man and woman in Christ. Don't they need to be counseled? I said, well, yes, Lord, you got a point. He said, so therefore, that's a soul that's coming to the bridegroom. So then, therefore, they need to be counseled. First and foremost, when I say counsel, they need to know who Jesus is, what his word says, and what he can do for them and what he expects from them. And once you can give them an understanding of what Christ can do for them and give them a better clarification of what his word says and how to apply his word and work his word, then they got an opportunity. So they want to give their life to Christ. They make their mind up, so they got a better opportunity and a better understanding of who Christ Jesus is. So then when they come in, they're most likely to accept him wholeheartedly and come in and stay in instead of coming in and backsliding and going right back out. See, it's a process, and you gotta have compassion, you gotta have patience to be able to deal. You can't just for instance, have a church and you have an altar call and ask anybody if anybody want to be saved, and they come in and they say they repeat after you your sinner's prayer, and then they turn around after the service over and they go back out in the world. Come to Bible study on Wednesday. Okay, this Sunday, anything can happen between Sunday and Wednesday to cause that soul to go right back on out there into the world. See, we got to have compassion to be able to teach the people. We got to introduce Christ to them. We got to teach them how to receive Christ. See, the Bible says on many occasions, that we got to, first and foremost, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by renewing of your mind. We got to teach people that your mindset got to be renewed. We got to teach people that you got to deny yourself. We got to teach people that you got to repent, not to teach them how to repent. We got to teach them that they got to repent. We got to teach them how to repent. We got to teach people when it comes to repentance, can't just say, look, you got to repent. Just repent and ask God to forgive your sins without teaching them how to repent. First and foremost, you got to confess your sins before Christ. You got to admit, just the same thing, what applies in heaven applies in earth. When you're going through AA, the first step to recover is what? Admitting. So that's the same thing in the spirit realm. When you're a sinner, the first step to deliverance is admitting. I got to admit, Lord, forgive me for being an adulterer. Lord, forgive me for being a fornicator. Lord, forgive me for being a liar. Forgive me for being these things so that God can forgive me. Because if you don't teach people how to repent and how to deny themselves, it's just like you get baptized. You go down a dry devil and come up a wet devil. You don't mean it from your heart and mean it sincerely. So it's a process. Uh-huh. We got to live this thing according to what the Word says. Because what the world got misconstrued, what church is abiding by nowadays, is no standards in these churches. All these false prophets preaching this sound, false doctrine and all these things. So the world don't know what is real and what ain't real because we're not holding up a standard. And Christ is calling us to lift up the standard and for us to live by example, to be steadfast and unmovable on his word. Don't play with his word. The Bible teaches us that we can't serve two masters. We either got to love one, we got to hate the other. We either love God or we love mammon, which is the devil. Mm-hmm. So who are we going to serve? And that's where the problem with the world comes. That's why the world is in the situation that it's in. It's because the church is not holding the standard that Christ left man head of, which Christ is the head of the church. But he left man his representation over the church. And we let, as men of God, we have let Christ down as holding a standard for the church. And the church is supposed to set the example of how the unbelievers is supposed to live. So it's all out of order, all misconstrued and out of order. And in the process, we as men, godly men, is held accountable. We dropped the ball. So that's why the world is like it is. That's why everything's going on in school. They're attacking our children because we as the church hadn't held up a standard. How are we going to allow one atheist to go and complain and get prayer taken out of school? Where was the church? Gay marriages. Where was the church?
Mm-hmm.
Things are going about. Where is the church? So how are we, as a body of Christ, withholding a standard? How in the world are we allowing these situations to happen? Because we're not living nothing. We're following man's doctrine. What we're not understanding is that the teaching is done through the Holy Spirit, not what man's interpretation is or what the Word says. That's why Jesus gave us parables in the Bible. When Jesus spoke, he gave us parables. Why did he give us parables? So that we could seek him and be hungry for him even more. The Bible said read and study and showed ourselves approval. So we're supposed to read and study. We're supposed to seek him through the Holy Spirit. See, that's why when you see the Bible said he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. So you got to be spiritual. You got to have spirituality in order to hear, you got to be spiritual in order to hear spirituality. And that's where the problem comes in. We don't have the ear because we're so busy doing what we want to do. We do what we want to do. We want to follow what we want to follow, our perceptions of what my pastor said or my bishop. I don't care what the pastor said. What is the Holy Spirit teaching? And that's where the problem comes in, that we can't reach the sinners because we're not living nothing. because we don't have no substance. We want this watered down word. We want these watered down blessings. We don't want to go through nothing. We don't go through no long suffering. We don't want to suffer for the greater anointing. The Bible says greater heat is in me than heat is in the world. So we should want that greater God so that we can what? Do all things through Christ that strengthens us. So that's all I got to say about what the sister is saying. And she's right on point. The church has not been held to a standard. See, that's why the church is in us, and the building is just a building.
Yeah.
So therefore, I encourage everybody to sound of my voice to seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, so all these things should be added upon you. See, we got to understand what Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says. We got to, in order for us to work this thing, we got to trust in the Lord with all our heart. We got to we can't lean to our own understanding. And all our ways, we got to acknowledge Jesus so that he can direct our path.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I got to say about that.
Sure.
Hope that helps somebody.
That sure helped me. Call your last four numbers, 9336.
Hello,
ahead,
Brother Chauncey. What's going on, Chauncey? This is Juan. How
on?
You doing? Hey, Jerome. Hey, everybody that's on the platform. Hey, to chime in earlier, but I had forgotten, Chauncey, that I was being interviewed on another show, so my bad, but I think I came in at a very good time. You know, Jerome and Chauncey and everyone else, I find it interesting that it seems as though the church can be the least receptive to constructive criticism. And as a result of that, you're right, we're failing. And yet we question why church attendance is diminishing and why the tithes rate is lower and all those type of things. I think that we have lost focus on what's important, and that's the person. Because if we don't heal the person, there's no point in really, or helping the person heal, there's really no point in trying to encourage a relationship because they don't even know themselves in Christ yet. Another thing that I want to talk about, Jerome, thank God for you, Jerome, because you took it upon yourself to be my mentor for a good little while. Prior to you, no disrespect, but I was led all kinds of different ways, you know, but I was still seeking Christ, but seeking advice from the wrong people. So I think that goes back to what you guys were saying earlier. We can't just ask people to come to Christ, pray over, put the oil on them, and, you know, go through those types of demonstrations and then just dump them. Don't call on them. Don't check on them. You know, even if you can't do anything about their situation, show that you care. Let's work on reaching the heart. You know, it's like that old saying goes, it's kind of hard to teach a person or tell a person that Jesus loves them and they're hungry. You know, they want a pork chop, hot dog, whatever you got to offer them. They want something to eat. And then after we feed them naturally, then they will be more receptive to godly teaching. So that's my input on it. And I thank you guys for your time.
Thank you. I got fed off of that for the last 2 minutes, God. I mean, I thank each and every one of you with your comments and questions. And I mean, we all have to stick together and help one another. You know, we have to encourage each other. You know, like I said, someone is watching us. Regardless, they are watching us. You know, just like we said, as soon as we do something wrong, the first thing they're going to holler, I told you they won't say, look at it.
Uh-huh.
And it's just like what it say when it's for someone who don't know Christ, you know, they looking. You know, when they see you come with that Bible, like I said, they already know you're going to beat them across the head. Me personally, I think love and support. Love and support will help. You know, because just like Jesus told us, unconditional, like Pastor.
I just want to comment on what you just said, what to give them, and what elaborate on what Falana was saying. See, first and foremost, you can't give what you don't have. That's first and foremost.
Correct.
How you gonna give Christ?
Exactly.
How you gonna give the agape love when you don't have the agape love yourself? How you gonna give the anointing? How you gonna give the Holy Ghost when you don't first have the Holy Ghost yourself? You can't give nothing that you don't have, and that's the problem. Even the Bible says on it. How can you prophesy in my name? How can you lay hands on the sick in my name? What Jesus said. How can you do these things? Mm-hmm. And he ain't called to do these things. A lot of people out here doing these things and saying that they come to sign his name, come to say they lay hands on his name and all these things. But what did he say to them? Turn away from me with what he said. Turn away from them with your iniquities.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing. It's so many false teachers, false prophets around here that's brainwashing the people. People want a watered-down word. That's all they want. They want a little fix. That's why they go to church. That's why you got these mega churches. All these mega churches that sitting around here, they're not preaching anything. It's no anointing.
Right.
See, like Philana was saying, see, it's supposed to be about the soul, winning the soul into the kingdom. We got to get people's souls saved and get them into the kingdom. But nobody has time because it's not on their agenda. You hear what I say on their agenda?
They're Come on now.
That's true.
They're all about your offerings. That's why they got these watered down sermons. They're preaching on prosperity. They're preaching on all these things, saying the Lord gonna bless you, prophesying. When they prophesy, they prophesy. They're telling you these things, the Lord gonna give you this, the Lord gonna give you that, but they're not saying that all those things have contingency.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
They're not telling the people.
Can I ask y'all something? You know what I'd be interested in?
Yeah.
If you all were down with it, I certainly am. I have a general idea and a general compass on, you know, certain things. But Jerome and Chauncey, CEO, I would welcome the opportunity to find a solution. And, you know, we're talking about the things that are wrong. I think that what we're needing is some type of direction. Like how, you know, you're right, Jerome. You know, how can you give if you don't have? Let's say, because apparently we don't know. We as a people don't know because it's not being done. Perhaps a format, a booklet or something about, okay, once you get them to the altar, then what's next? Then what's next? Because we're missing and we're in dire need of it. Now, I myself, I won't dare say what I'm thinking, but I myself struggle with one or two things. I know Chauncey, you're the first thing y'all going to tell me to do is don't claim that. I'm going to leave that there. But had the church been more instrumental in my life regarding what I'm talking about, I probably would have gone through a lot less headache. So what I'm asking is, would you generally be willing to allow me to be on you guys' team so that we can come up with a format on exactly step-by-step on what we're supposed to do, not only as clergy, but as Christians to win souls to Christ?
Yes. So, Philana, I'm glad you brought that up. See, the Holy Spirit gave me that on the process of what it takes to get saved, to get from becoming a babe in Christ to get to a mature level. See, it's a process. First and foremost, you know we got to accept Him as our Lord and Savior and believe that He was dying and raised from the dead. That's first and foremost. Then you got people that like I was saying a while ago, that they got to repent. You got to teach people how to repent. You got to teach people how to deny it. You got to teach people how to renew their mind. See, when they renew their mind, that's why Proverbs, again, Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. When he said these things, lean not to your own understanding, Jesus said, deny yourself. We must deny ourselves and repent daily. He said, deny yourself daily because your thoughts are not his thoughts. Your cares and your ways are not his ways. So, therefore, we got to teach people to deny themselves. That's why he said, and the next thing he says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. He said, in all your ways, acknowledge him because we got to pray. We got to ask him for guidance. We got to ask him to order our footsteps.
Uh-huh.
And when we're doing that, that goes along with the renewing of your mind. See, when you acknowledge Christ daily and you focus on him, he order your footsteps, your mindset is being renewed. See, when you start going and following Christ on your footsteps, you start walking upright and holy, everything is not like him, and it falls off. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, true.
So
yes, I do.
We're starting to walk through sanctification. See, through sanctification, once we get through sanctification, then guess what? Deliverance comes.
Amen.
So that's the
Amen.
Process. We got to get people's mindset renewed. We got to get them to go through sanctification. That means their mind got to stay focused on Christ. That's what
now,
Proverbs 3:5.
Jerome, Chauncey, and the listeners, I'd like to think that we understand what you're talking about, but not everyone, I think, from my personal opinion, has the cognitive ability to grasp that. You know what I mean? I get it. Chauncey gets it, and perhaps a lot of the listeners do too. what I'm hoping will happen is like an A to Z kind of deal, like something written out, something like a compass about what you do. You know what I mean? Because a lot of people don't know what you just said.
And instruction. Absolutely. They're not going to understand because they're not spiritual. So what you're asking is for an instructional manual on how to be saved. That's what you're saying.
Precisely. Mm-hmm. That's exactly how to be saved and the role of what clergy is supposed to do. Now, at our church on the Mission Ministries Incorporated, I am glad to say that we're very good on following up with our people. But even in that, I think that we could use some help in that area too, Jerome, in terms of A to B to C on what to do. You know what I mean? I feel like the more knowledge is power. You know, would you guys be willing to work with me on that so that we can win souls out here?
Well, see, first and foremost, Falana, see, what we got to understand and we got to be on one accord with is that the teaching comes through the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit gives you the wisdom, knowledge, and the understanding on how to do these things. See, we can't sugarcoat. When we go out here in the world and we're teaching to the people, we got to teach them the whole doctrine, not just part of it. We got to teach them that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. We got to teach them these things that they don't want to hear. They got to want to hear these things in order to want to come in. And see, a lot of people are scared of the truth. They're scared of the revelation.
Right.
You got to let that you can't keep living like hell, doing what you want to do when you want to do it and think you're going to make it into the kingdom. Because first and foremost, back to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 again, if you're not trusting the Lord with all your heart, not leaning to your own understanding and not acknowledging him in all your ways, then he can't direct your path. So first and foremost, if we're going to do these things, we got to be on the same page and we got to be on one accord with the word.
Precisely. There you go.
I can't take my perception, Jerome's perception, can't take Tom's perception, can't take Falana's perception and put things together. We got to come together, and we got to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to give us what to say.
There you go. And gentlemen, I do need to go because I'm actually getting ready to get interviewed on another show in about 7 minutes. Thank you, guys. Thank you, The Barbershop. You know, Chauncey, I'm one of your biggest fans. I wish I could have chimed in earlier, but time won't permit. You guys have a good evening, okay? Jerome, I'm looking forward to talking to you.
Thank you.
All right.
All right. Talk to you later. All right.
That's what got to go on. That's what got to go on. And on a bigger picture, if I may say, in order for things to change in this world, Jesus said, if my people are called by my name, will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways. See, he talking to us as men of God. He talking to us.
Yeah.
If we were to come, just like they had a million man march back in the day, that was ineffective. What if a million Christian men came together? And we start repenting and ask God to forgive us for our ways because we are the problems as being men of God. We dropped the ball.
Mm-hmm.
God left us
rule
of all dominions of the earth. We got out of line with God. We're the ones that need to be held accountable. If we were to come together and start repenting, asking for forgiveness and turn from our wicked ways, then what would he do? He'll hear from heaven. He'll forgive us our sin, and he'll do what? He'll heal the land. See, until we can grasp that concept as men of God and come together and know and understand that we have failed, until we understand and grasp that concept that we have failed God, we have failed him, repent so that he can heal the land. See, until that happens, see, his word is his word. See, that's who he's talking to. He's talking to us because God left man the ruler of all the means of the earth. So until
that's
we can
so
understand,
true. I mean,
we can come. Uh-huh.
So you already know. I feel me. You talked about this last year. You're gonna ask about this, you know, and that's why I'm so passionate. And you know how passionate I am when it comes to the barbershop and my brother's keeper. It's because I tell myself all the time, I hold myself accountable for dropping the ball. I'm a man of God, and I just think, you know, it goes by leading by example. You know, I don't want to see nobody perish. But it's one thing, I'm like you, is we link arms together and hold each other up as brothers. And a lot of things can change, you know. And I feel that in my heart, and I thank God for giving me the barbershop to do this platform. But it's just like when we were talking about getting people to come to Christ, it's the same way that we have to get the men out here to see the thing. Like you said, we all have to be on the same, on one accord. So, you know, I know what me and you stand when it comes to the men, but we have to get them to understand the same thing. You know, come on, it don't take much. I mean, because I hope everybody wants to be a better father, a better husband, a better brother, or an uncle. But, you know, all these things that's going on right here in our face, and we still blinded. But, you know, like I always say, it's that pride and ego when it comes to the buck. That pride and ego get in the way, but we'll go behind those four walls and we'll cry like a 13 baby. But it is what it is. But I'm with you. Whatever we can do to come together, to reach out here and get our brothers to realize and understand, I'm down with you. I'm with you. You know how I feel about my brother. Huh?
Right. See, the cycle has to end. See, our fathers and our grandfathers and great-grandfathers and all those that stepped out of line, now we got some good ones that was there for their kids, but you got a lot of them that just made babies and just left for the mama to raise them or the streets to raise them. And so they don't have an example on how to be that man. They don't have that. They look for love, but look for love in all the wrong places. So they turn to the street because they have no man to stand before them to mentor them, to teach them on how to be a good man, not only a good man, but a godly man, and how to be a husband, how to be a father, and these things. So then, therefore, their back's against the wall, and they're scared and don't know how to come out of the situation. What the Bible said, my people perish because of what? The lack of knowledge.
The lack of knowledge. Yep.
Lack of knowledge.
But we got like 1 minute left. Yo, me and you need to talk about what we just were talking about a few minutes ago. Sometime this week, you know, let's try to put something together and start from somewhere to reach our brothers and, you know, to become godly men and get some of these godly men to really be godly men and stop. You know, like you said, we always say stop playing around because really it's sad that our young males and our young girls are falling to the streets because, you know, as men, we don't want to step our responsibility of taking care of our kids, but we'll take care of another woman's child but won't take care of our own. So you know what I mean, man. Whenever one day this week, me, you, you know, whatever Holy Spirit lead us to do to get a couple more guys, we can do a round table. But when we get to do the thing about marriage and how to be godly men in relationship, I want you to be the special guest. And we can really, I think with that, we'll just do that day just with no women around, just all men. And then we'll pick back up. You know, that's what the Holy Spirit is leading me to right now. To reach the brothers and have them, and we do a show with just us, or we do a round table or a conference call, you know, with some guys that's going to be down with us and be serious. But, you know, like I said, you know, wherever the Holy Spirit leads us to, and that's what we're going to do. This is your boy, Deacon Johnson, on the Hottest Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm about to shut it down. I hope everybody have a blessed week. I love you guys.